When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, April 26. I'm Ariana Aspuru for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. On Tuesday, the Federal Trade Commission passed a ban on enforcing non-compete agreements for most employees.
Decisions that our agency makes materially shape and impact the lives of Americans in countless ways, and this rule in particular could affect workers' livelihoods and the viability of small businesses and startups.
It's the first time in more than 50 years that the FTC has issued a regulation like this. So what does it mean for employees?
Workers have said that they do expect more freedom to move between positions or employers and just have more agency in their own careers.
We'll have more from Wall Street Journal reporter Lindsay Ellis after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
A move this week by the Federal Trade Commission to ban non-compete agreements for employees could reshape the job market. WSJ reporter Lindsay Ellis joins me to discuss. Lindsay, what would this ban entail?
This new rule, which was passed earlier this week, blocks companies from enforcing existing non-compete agreements on anyone other than senior executives. And it also bans employers from issuing new non-compete contracts on workers, including senior executives, in the future.
And how did the FTC get to this point?
The White House has been pushing up against non-competes for several years now. Last year, the FTC issued a plan to ban these clauses. And, you know, in the public comment period, more than 20,000 people weighed in. Many of them were very supportive of this new rule. On Tuesday, the agency ultimately passed the measure. Democrats carried it on a 3-2 party line vote.
And what were some of the initial reactions to this passing?
Many workers and employees were extremely excited about this. Of the 20,000 plus comments that came in, the FTC says the vast majority were in support. I heard from hairstylists who were celebrating this, including one who said she could have the mobility to leave a bad boss. I've heard from physicians and doctors who say that non-competes, you know, blocked their career opportunities in the past. And so from the worker perspective, there was a lot of excitement. From the corporate perspective, there was less excitement. And the Chamber of Commerce, for example, filed a lawsuit on Wednesday seeking to block the rule.
Assuming it doesn't get blocked, when would this ban actually take effect?
So the ban takes effect in August, about 4 months from when it was passed.
What types of workers will be impacted by this?
The FTC estimates that nearly 1 in 5 Americans are subject to a non-compete, and that's about 30 million workers. I've spoken with researchers out of Cornell University who analyzed companies' enforcement of non-compete clauses, and that research found that some of the top professions impacted are people in sales, engineers, doctors, and salon workers.
Why did the FTC decide to make this move?
The FTC is arguing that non-competes are in violation of a law that's more than 100 years old that prohibits unfair methods of competition. And basically, the argument is that non-competes hamper competition for labor and ultimately lead to lower pay and worse benefits. And the agency is estimating that worker pay is going to grow by $400 billion or more over 10 years with restrictions on non-competes.
What are some of the main reasons why companies have their employees sign them?
Companies say that they invest a lot of money and time in workers' training and development, and they don't really want to do that, they say, if the worker can just walk out the door and work for a competitor or set up his or her own shop.
You talked about how the exception to this rule is senior executives. What exactly qualifies someone as a senior executive?
Senior executives, there are two stipulations there. One is that existing non-competes for these individuals can stay in effect. And the two categories are if the worker makes more than roughly $151,000 each year, and two, if they are in a policymaking position. And the FTC estimates that fewer than 1% of people are estimated to be senior executives in this final role.
You spoke to some workers who struggled with their non-compete agreements. What did they have to say?
So I talked to one woman. Her name is Christine Grogan. Her job was eliminated after her company was acquired several years ago, and she had previously signed a two-year non-compete with them. It was really challenging for her to find another job that didn't conflict with the non-compete, and she ultimately had to move her family from San Antonio to St. Louis, where she did find work. I talked to another person, Robert Williams, who he was trying to get a job in sales management in Connecticut, and the company that did offer him a job wasn't going to do so due to a past non-compete. Ultimately, his new employer did offer him the job, but only after talking to his former boss and coming to an agreement. And so he at the time was quite stressed about, will this agreement block my ability to find work?
So previously, under a non-compete, if you went and broke that non-compete agreement, what would happen?
It depends on how the company would enforce it. I've talked to workers who have been stressed about getting sued or that their new employer would be sued by their past company. That threat of legal action looms large for a lot of people who have signed these agreements.
With more flexibility to move around between companies, what are experts saying this could mean for the workforce overall?
I just want to caution first, with this legal challenge, the rule could be delayed or whittled down to some degree in court from the cases that we discussed earlier. But workers have said that they do expect more freedom to move between positions or employers and just have more agency in their own careers should this rule come into play in August.
And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back on Sunday with the first episode of our four-part series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, where we'll dive into what you should know to make sure you're getting the best deal on your home from the start. Today's show is hosted and produced by me, Ariana Aspuru. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.